Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, traveler, emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy, healthy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
I don't get to see you very often.
I know. I'm here because Sarah's gone.
Well, it's nice to have you over there, and I hope everyone is doing well in your world.
Everyone is doing as well as anyone in this world is doing. Let's just say that. We're healthy.
That is fair to say, yes. Healthy is a win.
Oh, yes.
As long as we can keep going. I know. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking a lot this week about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and, you know, what that means to the world and what that means to our futures. But I'm mostly thinking about what that means to young women all over the country and all over the world who may not really understand how profoundly she changed their opportunities and their lives.
Absolutely.
You know, that my daughter's generation doesn't remember a time when they didn't have free rein to go to college, to get into grad school, to apply and go to law school. You know, my younger daughter, Kelly, you may or may not know, is actually attending law school right now in Chicago. And so we were talking about this week. It's like, you know, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg went to Harvard, she was one of, I want to say, three women in the program of 500. And now here, my daughter, the women are the majority in law schools in most of the country. And so for her and my older daughter, they don't know or remember a time when they didn't have an opportunity to choose their paths and their futures. And they also, you know, for my older daughter has chosen a partner who is equally vested in raising their children and, you know, make sure that she has time to do her work. And there's a wonderful quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg talking about, you know, the key to life is choosing a partner, having a partner that values your work as much as you do theirs, and that they support you in your pursuits. And, you know, again, the younger generations don't know how revolutionary it is to have a partner that would prioritize your career and your desire to be a mother and to work. You know, now we see that becoming more of the norm. In my family psychology class, when I talk about the 1950s and the head of household laws that put men literally in charge of their family, and they were able to make mental health decisions on behalf of their wife and decide how the money was spent and determine where they were going to live. And it was their right under the law to be able to do those things. And my students can't comprehend what that is. And for you and I, I'm sure that's not ancient history. You know, the 1950s don't feel like it was, you know, I wasn't around yet, but it still didn't feel like ancient history. And so it's apropos, our topic this week is around entrepreneurship and a young woman, Cal Poly student, taking the reins on a project and bringing it to fruition. Because every young woman, older woman that is feeling like they can make a difference today has Ruth Bader Ginsburg and a lot of the women who fought for equal rights and opportunity and gender equality that opened those doors that were completely firmly closed shut until the 60s and 70s. And it's important to remember, you know, that if we value any sort of privileges, if we value any sort of opportunities and equality, that we have to be vigilant in making sure that those rights and laws are protected and maintained. And that is one of the things that Ruth Bader Ginsburg and other activists had talked about, you know, over the years, that in some ways, after the women's movement of the 1970s and the passage of what Roe v. Wade and other gender equity laws were passed, a lot of people kind of slid backwards in their activism, felt like things had been handled and things were done. And as a result, something like the ERA wasn't finished that would actually offer protection under the Constitution, which we don't have as women today. In the Constitution, it is not stated that women have equal rights under the law, which the ERA would have provided, and other reproductive rights and access to gender equality. You know, even though there are laws on the books, the fighting for making sure those laws are followed hasn't really happened at the same level that it did back in the 70s. So in a way, my hope is that with the passing of the notorious RBG, that this next generation of young women will realize how important it is to advocate for those rights and things that they value, because we don't know when there'll be another person on the Supreme Court that will have the same vision and goals in protecting gender equality as she did. So that's really on my mind today a lot, and really wanting to inspire my children and their generation and my generation to keep moving forward, especially, as you said, because we're all just doing about as best as we can given the circumstances. And it's really tempting when things are this overwhelming, strange, relentlessly going down dark holes, to give up and to fall into despair and to feel depressed and to feel hopeless. That would be in some ways a normal response to an incredibly abnormally stressful situation. But as a clinician, I know that the remedy for despair and depression, one of the remedies for despair and depression, is to take a step forward, to take action of some kind, that we have to almost force ourselves under the weight of this overwhelming sense of sadness or depression or anger. We have to force ourselves to take a step forward. And in those movements, those actions, we start to feel our energy grow and our despair to lift. And it doesn't make everything perfect. It doesn't make the world beautiful overnight. It doesn't solve all the problems. But if we can all move up and forward just a little bit, take action in ways that matter, we can start to find balance with our mental health. Because even in the worst of times, we can find some sort of grounding with our mental health. We just need to have something to wake up for every day. So my guest today is a junior Cal Poly student, child development major. Her name is Claudia Krakey. And Claudia was a student of mine in my family psychology class, full of energy, full of curiosity, full of this hopeful light about her. And I got a phone call from Claudia in August, and she said, I had an idea. And this idea was so big that I had to pull over my car on the side of the road and write it down. And I need to tell you about it. And I said, please do. I am ready for this idea. And she said, I am going to organize students to help as mentors for families that have to be home and their kids are studying virtually. I said, that's a great idea. She goes, yeah, I'm not really sure all the details, but I think it'll work. And within a month, Claudia Krakey had created a huge network of students and families and put them together and brought hope to families that didn't know how they were going to get through the school year, and uplifted students who were feeling like they wanted to do something that mattered but weren't sure how. And now they are working together all over the county, kind of bettering their lives and making the world better place. And so this project is called Claudia for Learning. And I've invited Claudia on the show today to talk about this brainstorm that she had using that entrepreneurial, learn by doing Cal Poly spirit and what this program looks like. And also for people who might be interested in participating, how they can also get involved to work together to, from a community grassroots level, meet the needs of our society today. So I want to start off with a quote that actually Claudia shared with me. And she said this quote was part of her inspiration. It's by Rebecca Solnit. To hope is to give yourself a future. And that commitment to the future makes the present inhabitable. So we're going to visit with Claudia. And although the phone lines aren't open as usual, you can call in with a comment or question and share it with Claire, who will give it to Carol, who will pass it to us, and we'll answer it for you. And our number is 805-549-8855. You can also send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. On Facebook and on Instagram, you'll actually see a GoFundMe site that Claudia started to help families that can't afford to have tutors come to their house have the opportunity to get the same resources, a great act of equity. So check us out on Facebook and on Instagram to take part in that GoFundMe effort and campaign. You can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. And if you'd like, please podcast the show by anywhere you get your podcasts. Look up A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, hit subscribe, and our shows will be there for you to listen at your convenience. So as always, I'm excited to see where this conversation takes us. We'll be back in a minute to start our chat with Claudia. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. I'm only one call away.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And my guest today is Claudia Krakey. Hi, Claudia. It's good to see you.
Hi, Professor Barrett. I'm so excited to be here right now. I'm like overwhelmed with joy.
Oh, I am so glad to have you here. And let's talk a little bit about what you have created with this program. And you're calling it Claudia for Learning. And so Do a brief description of what Claudia for Learning looks like.
Claudia for Learning is less about Claudia. It is more about a connection between qualified college students and mentors in the community that are connected with developing children in the local SLO community, ages kindergarten through 12th grade. So The majority of it is about the students and the connection, not necessarily the title.
It's a good title because it's easy to remember. But so for those, you know, who don't know about the virtual learning, with students that are home, how are the Cal Poly students helping these families?
So right now in the education system across the board, there's a crisis in the lack of connection, lack of human connection between not only peers, but teachers and other mentors and et cetera. And right now with the virtual connection, it is very difficult for students to get that part of development. Therefore, I created a system to give them that connection by connecting older mentors and college students to the younger children to help that process.
All right. So at this moment, September 22nd, how many college students do you have signed up as mentors?
Signed up, I have about 400. It's been growing every single day, like tremendously. It was funny because I fell asleep one night with 13 responses and I was like running to my roommates, I have 13 responses. And then the next morning I woke up with like 150. It was like a explosion.
And how many families have signed up to participate?
About 150 families have signed up to participate. I would say about 130 have successful connections right now. As everything is, it's still in a work in progress.
It's only been a month.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the jobs, you know, that the poly students are doing for families? Or what kind of mentoring are they doing?
So the most basic would be academic schedules, I would say. Basic curriculums for kindergartners, third graders, including math, language, science, etc. But additionally, in my program, I allow parents to share concerns with me, everything from academic concerns to financial to well-being concerns. And within that, I was able to connect people to specific mentorships, I would say. For example, I had one parent reach out to me saying, I'm an only mother and I have a son who wants to play football, but I have no idea about football. Can you please give me a tutor that can toss the ball with him during breaks as well? And I was able to find a Cal Poly football student who knows everything about football and also is tutoring him in math at the same time.
That's fantastic. And I know that some of the students are being paid for their time with the families, and then some are volunteering. So families that might not be able to afford the tutoring costs can still sign up and participate, correct?
Yes, I wanted to make this an extremely equitable experience. I would say that my time at Cal Poly, my education has pushed me to like beyond belief to like make things equitable, especially Dr. Julia Garcia. I had her as a professor this summer, and she left me with like this inspiration to make it equitable for everyone. So I made an option for parents, if they wanted to sign up and they don't have compensation, that they could. And also I made an option for families who can't afford to pay to cover other family costs. So the kind of like paying for two students, but only getting the one. That's the GoFundMe that you were discussing earlier. That money is going directly back to families who can't afford to compensate tutors right now.
And so how do people sign up? Because before we dive into your inspiration, I know there's a lot of people that are hearing this and probably feeling like they would love to have a Cal Poly student throw the football with their child or take them to play soccer and help them with social studies. So how do people in the community participate?
So it started with just a Facebook link, and now it's just a regular URL, and people can sign up by clicking on a link that's going to take them to a Google form. Families can sign up, and tutors in SLO, if you wanted to be a tutor or mentor, you totally could as well. I have two separate links, one for tutors and one for families in need. And then once that information is relayed to me, I act kind of like a, I keep saying like a match.com, like a URL. I am the URL, and I make that connection for them.
And so what is the link or the URL that people, and maybe Carol could write it down and we'll have it available if people would like to call in.
Okay. So the one for students who want to be a tutor, it's called Cal Poly Students for Tutoring. And then the URL for parents is going to be SLO Families in Need, which they're longer URLs because they do take them to a Google form. So I can link them and send them to you directly, Carol, if you'd like. Yeah.
So SLO Families in Need, and is it .com?
I believe so. It's Google helped me with these. So I have 2020 remote learning for the families, which I'll link for you right now. Great. And then I will send out the parent one as well.
So if anyone is interested in getting involved, either as a tutor or families who would like to have a student come work with their children, you can give us a call at 805-549-8855, and we have that information available for you. And if you're just tuning in, my guest is Claudia Krakey. She is a third-year student at Cal Poly in the Child Development Department. She's also a psychology minor. I had the good fortune of having Claudia in class with me last year, or was it maybe the year before? And I don't remember. Time goes so quickly. And she called me this summer with this great idea to how she could kind of help her feelings of despair be lifted by doing something that would be positive for other people. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. And so, Claudia, let's start with that great idea. What was that for you? Where did it come from?
So my inspiration came from multiple people. I would say it had to start with my stepmom, Nicole. She is living in Los Angeles, and she created a program in her hometown to create pods for students so they can still have that social connection. And her idea inspired me to want to do it in SLO, but unfortunately, liability as a 19-year-old, I couldn't authorize all of that. So I called Dr. Amaryllis Iskold, who's also a professor at Cal Poly and a huge mentor of mine. And we were kind of brainstorming, talking back and forth. And I was on this with driving, and I was listening to your podcast, actually. I was listening to the episode where you invited other Cal Poly grad students. And one of them mentioned, like, you're going to make change. You have to take the action. Basically, you can't wait on the world to change. It's up to you. So I pulled over And then I emailed Dr. Cold and I said, this is what we're doing. I figured it out. And from there, I was able to make phone calls with her and other faculty members at Cal Poly that helped me navigate certain questions I needed to ask and how to properly go about this, like an appropriate way regarding CDC guidelines and the scares of the world. And it just shot off from there.
You make it sound so simple.
I do, but it was like, in reality, I was upstairs in my room, like for, I want to say 36 hours straight, like to the point where my roommates were bringing bowls of food to me because I wasn't thinking about anything else besides starting this project and making sure it was right. And even when I thought it was right, I was still like receiving really great constructive criticism on how to make it even better. And I kept working. And I think because of the pandemic, Before this, I felt like I lost my sense of purpose in my educational career just because being a child development major in psychology, my entire life is human connection. And when that was taken away from me, I was like really hurt and sad and I couldn't figure it out. And I finally did. And once I felt that purpose again, I couldn't stop and I still can't.
I know it's an energy that comes from beyond when you have an inspiration like that.
It's totally.
You channel some sort of wisdom.
Exactly. Definitely got me.
Well, and also it's important to point out that your life also continues while you're putting together this amazing idea, the entrepreneurial project. You know, we also had a conversation that you had a really devastating loss in the middle of trying to put this whole program together.
Yes. Unfortunately, this past summer, I lost two people in my life. They passed away, unfortunately. And it was really scary. And I've explained to you before that I had to recognize that to take pauses in my life and take pauses on projects and change and learn how to adapt. Adaptability is something I'm still working on and I think I'll be working on forever. But I would say that this summer and this year in general has pushed me more than ever and guided me more than ever to know the power of human connection and know that connection is what's going to keep me going even if others stop.
And I would imagine as well, experiencing grief to that extent, quite often, you know, we expect if something horrible happens, it happens and everything else stops. But you had this incredibly positive thing happening around you and needed to make space to grieve these losses. And how did you do that? Or how have you been doing that? Because again, it's only been a couple months.
Yes. I talk to people. I reached out. I looked to my community, my family, and my friends, especially friends that knew the people I lost, because talking to me has been the best way to get through it instead of bottling things up. And within those conversations, it has kept me motivated to keep going. Within that struggle, it has inspired me more that I only have so much time on this earth, and why do I need to wait until after graduation to make a change? Why did I need to think that I wouldn't feel this until after I graduated and I got the degree and the licenses to make differences in the world? But I'm doing it right now, and I'm in the middle of my educational career. Maybe not even the middle. I have a long way to go, and I'm excited about it.
And to find that belief that just as an ordinary person, because we tend to do that, you know, most people do. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just 19, or I'm just a stay-at-home mom. You know, I've heard that my entire life, and I'm sure it's come out of my mouth many times. How could I do something helpful or profound because I'm just this and I'm not there yet, or I haven't earned this, that you were able to give yourself permission to just trust and move forward is huge. And I also really want to emphasize the role that mentors have played for you in pulling this together, because I think many people have a great idea, but they don't know how to execute it because they try to do it in isolation. So talk a bit about some of these mentors and how you knew to call on them.
So I did not grow up in the traditional nuclear family, and that definitely guided me to discover the power of asking for help and asking for guidance that's outside of that perfect bubble everyone like wants you to be in. And I've been so grateful for that, because my whole life I've not necessarily had the mentors everyone else around me has had, but I've been able to go to my community, go to professionals, and ask for help and receive it. And also that has inspired me to not only ask and receive for help, but give back to the places that have given to me, such as the SLO community, such as you and Dr. Amy Escold and Dr. Carrie Langer. Like, I have had so many people help me, and all I can think is, like, I want to give back to them by making sure that all the help they're giving to me, like, is successful, especially within this project and other advances in my life. For example, like getting into college and like making the most of it. Like, my entire life I've been reaching out to others, and it took me a little time to learn that, because sometimes the world is scary and you feel like you're alone, but once you realize that you're not alone, it is probably like, it is the coolest place. I think that human connection is the most powerful thing on the planet. I think social environment is adapt, like, changes you more than you change it. And yeah.
Well, and you've said so much in one sentence, but to have, no, that's wonderful to have the wisdom, because I know a bit of your story, you know, and to not have that traditional family system, there was something special in you that knew you could reach out or needed to reach out, because I don't know if a lot of people, when they don't have a family support system, would know to reach out or would feel confident enough or take a chance to do that. But what's so wonderful is what you said, that once you started to reach out, people were so receptive that it encouraged you to keep reaching out. And I wish that would be a message that was more common, that more people want to help than don't want to help. You know, I know for myself and for Dr. Langer and for Amy, that all of us talk about how much we want to be able to be there for our students and help them achieve their goals. And so when a student comes to us and says, here's an idea, can you help? We're ecstatic, because we feel like we can do something. And so I wish every young person realized that there are so many adults just waiting to be asked. He's like, ask us, please.
Yes, exactly. I think a lot of that comes from the fear of the unknown. And in elementary school, when you raise your hand to answer a question and you get it wrong, it's almost like you're scolded for it. And your teacher's asking you, how do you not know that? Or why do you feel confident enough to raise your hand? And I was lucky enough to be in a community that not knowing was okay, and that asking questions was okay. That's the only way we're going to learn and grow, you know? And I feel like as a society, when people don't know, they think you're, this might be frank, but stupid if you don't know. But it's better to not know. That just means you have the ability to grow more and learn and understand and make mistakes and change for the better in the long run.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to my guest, Claudia Krakey. She is the founder of Claudia for Learning, a new entrepreneurial startup here in San Luis Obispo. She is using her learn by doing skills to create a program that has matched 400 Cal Poly student mentors to 150 families in the community. And these students are helping with virtual learning. They're getting the kids outside to kick the soccer ball or throw the football. They're offering respite for parents. There is a mentor for any kind of family need. And Claudia just utilized her education and her personal life experiences and the mentors that she's surrounded by to kind of put this program together in such quick time. And there are still positions that are available if you are a family or a parent that would like to have a Cal Poly student mentor in some way. And again, the asks are limitless. It just depends on what your comfort level is as a family and having someone either in the home or with your child or doing virtual mentoring. We have information available if you want to give us a call, 805-549-8855. You can get information, the links to how to sign up as a family, or if you'd like to be a mentor, you can ask a question of Claudia and Claire will send it up to us. 805-549-8855. Although we don't have our traditional open phone lines, you can always send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. I'm also happy to send you information after the show. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. On both of those sites, we have Claudia's GoFundMe that she set up to help families that don't have the financial resources to pay for mentorship to still be able to get those services. So if you can help with the GoFundMe, that money goes directly to paying for mentors who will then help these families who don't have access. We're going to take a quick break and be back to continue our conversation with Claudia Krakey. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. And today we're talking with Claudia Krakey. She is a junior at Cal Poly, and she has started a program mentoring or bringing mentors and families together. She's like the liaison or the matchmaker for this program, Claudia for Learning. And we're talking about her inspiration and why she took on such a big project, and what does she envision as this project unfolds? Where is it going to go? And also joining us is Colin Green, and Colin is a Cal Poly junior history major, if I am correct, and he is offering his services as a mentor this quarter. So Colin, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you. All right. So tell me how you found out about Claudia's program and what inspired you to get involved.
Yeah, so I'm a history major and Spanish minor, and kind of going into the field of education has always been a passion of mine. And just with kind of the nature of COVID-19 and everything that's going on, it was kind of hard for me to find a job, you know, where I could kind of make a little bit of earning as I'm working on my education, but also kind of pursue something that I'm passionate about. And Claudia is a good friend of mine. I know she's on the education route as well. And she actually brought it up to me, and I thought it was kind of a perfect option.
And so have you been, I'm assuming you've been matched with a family?
Mm-hmm, I have, yeah.
And so what kind of mentoring are you doing for them?
It's been awesome. So with my Spanish minor, I've been able to incorporate kind of primarily Spanish education. So it's through complete immersion. So I'm doing elementary school teaching, using the language of Spanish. We're covering some writing, reading, and kind of reading comprehension skills. And then we're also diving into a little bit of elementary mathematics. We're going to start with history next week.
And so are you doing this virtually, or are you actually meeting with the family in person?
Yeah, so the family has a pretty big backyard. So still being able to, you know, wear masks and be 6 feet apart, we're able to actually meet with the students in person in my case, which has been a really cool experience.
Yeah, how has that been for you? Because Claudia was pretty open about her mental health kind of taking a big hit when school went online in the spring and not being able to come back. How has it been for you emotionally and for your mental health?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely different. And I'm a very active kind of kinesthetic learner. So the online kind of commitment is much different for me. It's a lot harder to focus, a lot harder to kind of take in information. And I know that's the same case with a lot of students. You know, it's difficult new at the college level as well as it is elementary, middle school, and high school. So being able to kind of work with a student in person and kind of give him that more kind of sense of normalcy hopefully can help him retain the information. And it's helping me a lot too with kind of just pursuing fluency in another language. It's really been an awesome experience.
Yeah. So how do you feel when you wake up in the morning now?
I'm pretty excited. You know, I have a really good schedule. In addition with my classes now, I do 3 days a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings. It definitely keeps me going. I'm getting up even earlier now, you know, because I want to get a workout in before I work with the students. So I really just feel like mental health, but in addition, kind of just physical health and overall well-being has definitely been kind of improved in all aspects with this. So I'm pretty excited about it.
It is. I see the enthusiasm in your face. I wish everyone could see how excited both of you are about being a part of this. And I'm curious to know how the class virtual learning, you know, because you said it was tough in the beginning. Have you been able to adapt to this learning style? What are your tricks?
Absolutely. Yeah. So recently I made a couple purchases at Home Depot, built a little desk in my room and kind of just set it up and made it look a little bit more aesthetic and comfortable, kind of put in some plants. So that's been kind of a new steady space for me. And that's really improved it, kind of somewhere I've grown into enjoying being. But as well, I've been kind of taking my classes in different areas, like outdoors. Like I have a little backyard I'll go to, or maybe a park, just to kind of shake it up a little bit. And that's helped a lot. Just kind of being in nature is something I've always liked. So kind of being able to do that now, kind of when I'm in class, has been a cool little thing that makes it a bit easier.
So you mentioned being interested in the teaching route moving forward. How do you anticipate education in the next few years? Because you're a junior, so in a year or two, you might be stepping into a classroom that has been dramatically changed. What do you anticipate it'll be?
Yeah, it's a crazy kind of transitional period for education as a whole, especially just seeing what works and what doesn't in the online realm. And kind of as time goes on, hopefully a vaccine will present itself sooner than later. But even then, you know, life is definitely going to be drastically different within the next couple of years. So I think for me, it's just kind of maintaining awareness and kind of what's new in education, whether that's on a global standpoint. I'd love to teach English abroad somewhere. So I'm kind of tracking with how Central America is doing, how South America is doing. But I think for education in America, I'm hoping by the time I personally get to the high school level or college level or whatever I do, it'll be a little bit more normal. I can have that kind of interpersonal connection with students that I've always kind of hoped for.
Well, and Claudia said the same thing, that this desire for connection is so important. And I know a lot of the literature is coming up that those who are in college, high school students and college students, are really the ones that are struggling the most, feeling isolated, not being able to connect. And Claudia, I'm wondering how you and Colin are adapting to the social aspect of life during this time.
It has been extremely difficult for me personally, just because I am very involved on campus, not only like with class, but I was involved with I was like part of Greek life as well. And so I spent every day while I was in SLO surrounded by people, and just being able to walk across campus and see someone I saw at the coffee shop over the weekend and say hi, that's something I miss so much. I never thought I would say I miss going to the library to study, but I do. And it's been extremely difficult. And I remember the first 2 months of quarantine, it was just me and my roommate in our house of normal five girls, which was so different. The dynamic like changed, everyone's world flipped upside down, but I definitely felt it like happening in real time, recognizing it every day. And that's what I was telling you earlier, like it made me feel my like sense of this loss of purpose right now. But as we have learned more about the virus and CDC has like offered us more guidance on how to stay safe, I've been able to I believe everyone's calling them pods, like create a pod of people I'm connecting with that like includes my roommates and a couple of my other friends. And it's still a struggle because I have friends reaching out to me and they just came back from the Bay Area and it's like, we can't see each other for 2 weeks. And it's difficult. It for sure is. And I would say it's taking a toll on my relationships, which sucks. But I hope that I feel like we're blessed to have technology right now, because that is offering us such a great connection through FaceTime and Zoom, what we're doing right now, et cetera.
And Colin, are you able to feel like you're socially connected? Do you have a pod as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just like Claudia was saying, having that pod is super, super clutch for me, kind of on a mental health standpoint, just being able to kind of continue what college looks like in a way that I think is still beneficial, because I feel like so much of college is experiencing just like an incredibly diverse and like vast group of people you would never know you would meet until you get there. And that's one of my favorite parts too. Before this, I was also very involved on campus, part of Greek life and a couple environmental organizations I was pretty involved and passionate about too. And now those are looking completely different. So yeah, having kind of having that pod, but also just being able to adjust with the guidelines. It has been cool learning more a little bit about the virus as well, to see that, yeah, meeting a person one-on-one or going for a hike with someone or you're going surfing with someone, there are ways to still do what you love and see people, but it's just a little bit altered and maybe not as much at once as it used to be.
So it's in some ways self-limited, but you still are finding a quality of life.
Absolutely.
My guests today are Claudia Krakey, founder of Claudia for Learning, a match.com-esque sort of program matching families who have needs for their children to help them get through the virtual learning world with Cal Poly students who are wanting to find a way to give back and participate. And Claudia mentioned earlier that about 70% of the students are being paid for their work, but there's 30% of your classmates who said, I just want to participate in our volunteering. So that is very indicative of your generation. It's you are volunteers by nature. So I want to ask both of you, where do you see this program going throughout the rest of this year for yourself and as a program?
As a program, I hope to just grow. I want to continue to grow. I've recognized at first I was kind of overindulging in this project, again, locking myself in my room. But now I've been able to set time a week where I can focus on this project and be like focused on it for just 1 or 2 hours, over a course of a couple of days. And now I'm able to navigate my well-being and the project at the same time. So I really just want this to grow. And I know that on the college level, at least, that we are probably going to have our winter and spring quarter virtual again. So I did advertise this just as fall quarter until winter, etc. But I hope that if everything continues to be virtual, I want to keep pushing this and making sure that those connections are being created. And even if we do go back in person, why not have an extra mentor? Like I had one growing up and I'm so lucky for it. And I think I turned out okay. So I think it would be really beneficial for other K-12 students.
So Colin, do you see yourself being a participant long-term, or what is your goal with this project?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just stoked to be part of it. The year so far, the family I've been working with, it's only been about 2 weeks, 3 weeks as of now, so I'm still pretty new into it, but I can already see a big positive impact they're having on me, and I really do think we were a good fit. Like the kid I'm working with, I see a lot of myself in that kid, which is a really cool thing, just being able to connect and help out, and I hope as I continue to work with them, you know, I can, you know, make a positive impact on them as well. But it is a really cool part of my week, something I look forward to, and yeah, definitely, you know, see myself going on with it in the future.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that they're having an impact on you as well, because, you know, all interactions influence both directions. So I imagine for a lot of the mentors that you're working with, Claudia, or fellow students, are talking about how it's improved their life or the connections they're making with these families.
Yes, I've received so much positive feedback, not just from the families and the parents, but also from tutors saying, thank you. I was able to quit my job downtown and I'm able to be doing what I love. I was lucky enough to reach a lot of the liberal studies and child development majors at Cal Poly who have a real passion for all of this. And they have been like super grateful. They're like, can I put you as a reference on my resume and stuff like that? And that has just been really cool too, because I'm helping my peers like as well. As I've said before, I want to give back to this community as a whole, not just like outside of the college, within this college as well.
So what are, Claudia, some of the, because we talked about Collins using his Spanish skills and his history, education, and math skills with this family. And you talked about another student, you found a Cal Poly football player who is willing to go out and toss the ball. What are some other matches that you've made that have been interesting?
Some of the more unique matches, I would say, would be the people who are the families who have either a single mother or a single father. They're kind of looking for that opposite gender mentor for their children. Mm-hmm. As a child development major, I've learned a lot about the power of like having multiple diverse perspectives in a young child's life and especially within gender, that's very important. And so that's been really cool because families have had the courage to ask and tell me and say, hey, I'm struggling as a single mother right now, and I think I need someone who is more masculine to help out my son. And I think those connections have been almost like, I don't know if I could say my favorite, I love them all, but they've been really powerful because they're always updating me. Oh, this is so cool. They were able to go to the park today and do this. And then they talked about Marvel all night or like whatever it may have been. And I think it's really cool because I've been able to engage on both ends with the tutors and the parents with feedback and connection.
And so, Colin, one more question for you, because you talked about being involved in Greek life. And I know the Greek life wants to feel that they're participating and giving back to communities. Do you see your fellow chapter members embracing this kind of model of doing hands-on mentorship, since you can't, I would imagine, meet the way you had in the past?
Absolutely, yeah, especially with the nature of Greek life being so social. It is very strict, you know, and I feel like everyone in my chapter in specific is very intentional, you know, positive with that, you know, trying to be first and foremost, like, safe for the community and for each other. So there's really no interaction going on in person, in a scheduled format at all. But absolutely, most of my close friends who I've made through the fraternity, kind of the philanthropy aspect and community aspect and give back is probably the part they look most forward to and the part that I personally have found myself, like, being most excited to be involved in. And that mentorship program, like being an older member in the community, I turned 21 a little over a month ago, and that's kind of a—
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's kind of a weird thing. You know, I feel the same, but I feel like the number has a little bit more weight. So kind of being true, you know, young men and contributing to society in general, but also the SLO community and the youth in SLO, and the young men for SLO, I feel like is a really positive thing. And it's important, you know, to be that positive role model kind of in all aspects, you know, of life, including this tutoring. But yes, definitely.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And you're listening to my guests, Colin Green and Claudia Krakey, both Cal Poly students. We have been talking about Claudia's brainstorm that she had this past summer, and how she lifted herself out of, you know, I guess we'll call the COVID funk or the pandemic funk, and found this inspiration in matching mentors with families who needed help, and in a way has created this network that I would imagine is going to carry on for quite a long time. And if you'd like information about how you can participate, if you'd like to sign up your family, or if you're a parent who has a child that would like mentoring, it can be virtual or and in person, depending on your family's needs. You can give us a call, 805-549-8855. We have the information and can send you the links to sign up and fill out the forms. And you can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. I'm happy to also send you the links that way. And so, Claudia, with this entrepreneurial spirit, how do you now have time for your classes? Because I imagine you're both full-time college students.
Yes. I have always been inspired by movement and like going forward and working and keeping myself busy. It's almost like, it's like my therapy, I would call it, is like always being connected. So I have learned from this project, I did not start this way, but I have learned to take schedule more and take specific times out of my day to focus on one thing at a time, rather than having like all my notifications on and like reading a bunch of emails from professors and friends, etc. So I've been lucky enough to like take a step back and know that I'm going to spend 5 to 10 hours a week on this project. I'm going to spend 25 to 35 hours a week on school. And I'm also working downtown. So I have my schedule, and I'm really grateful for that. Because before, I would say, Cal Poly, I did not have scheduling hand. I do now.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges that I see as a professor, that students tend to go 1,000 miles an hour and then crash, and go 1,000 miles an hour and crash. And part of that growing edge during college is to find some routine or balance. And you've made that. And I'm also want to go back a little bit to the mentors that you've had. And I'm curious, Colin, if you've had any adult mentors that have inspired you to, you know, do good works or to be your better man, and where did you find them?
Yeah, I think besides my dad, I was super lucky, you know, having an awesome relationship with him growing up. But my high school basketball coach, Coach Tomey, was pretty big for me. It was definitely a tough love relationship. You know, very strong-willed, very inspired, very particular, you know, with plays and how he wanted us to do, and very hard on us often. But it definitely taught me resilience, perseverance, and kind of just I got through that, you know, so I can get through anything. That was, you know, that was kind of my mindset. Now, you know, I'll still reach out to him and text him. He's just such a good person, a good parent. He has an awesome family dynamic. Just someone I really look up to, and hopefully when I, you know, pursue coaching and teaching way down the road, definitely going to emulate, you know, some of the stuff that he showed me into my future life as well.
And it's interesting because, you know, if people want to poke at the millennials or Gen Z, which is your generation, the comments are that you're soft and can't take feedback or criticism well. And so it's interesting that the person you most admired was someone who actually pushed you.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think it's good to kind of push back on that stereotype as well. And, you know, me personally, I really try to embody resilience because I think it's such an important thing, you know, going forward. That's kind of how you get places, you know, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations and kind of striving through that.
That's really wonderful to hear, because I do think that is a stereotype that's pretty large, that this generation has no resilience, and that you use that term so quickly is so powerful, because moving forward, wherever we go in our culture and the pandemic and in the world, Gen Z more than any other generation is going to have resilience tenfold. And so how do you imagine modeling that moving forward? Because I'm sure there are peers that you have who don't have the resilience or strength that either one of you do.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just maintaining kind of a positive energy and kind of confident demeanor, not in so much a prideful way, but just a confidence in things are going to go well. Obviously right now there's a lot of negativity going on and a lot of easy ways that you can be down. I've definitely found myself in that cycle as well. But kind of just reflecting on the people I love, the things I love to do, and kind of just finding a purpose for myself. I feel like those three things, more than anything, have really kind of helped me pursue that resilience. You know, I'm not there yet, definitely still working on it, but it's helped me so far.
But it's in your vocabulary, so at least you know it's a goal. It's there. And Claudia, for you, final thoughts about where you are now in your life as opposed to 2.5 months ago.
As far as resilience, I just wanted to touch on that really quick. I believe that communication and conflict resolution and honesty are extremely important, especially with my peers. I find myself like practicing conflict resolution with them and people and my siblings younger than me and friends younger than me as well. And I think that the more honest we are in that conflict resolution and communication, the more growth we have and the more resilience we will build, because no one's going to get anywhere with being dishonest very far, very far. I'll say that. And as far as myself and how my world has changed in the past 2.5 months, I would say my life kind of is starting to flip itself back up. I feel like our whole world was turned over, but I'm slowly coming back up. I'm coming up from underneath the water, and I'm very grateful that I have a lot of hands pulling me right now. I have you, I have my friends who are an amazing support, and the slow community too is just like phenomenal. I've never been so blessed to be a part of an area. I came here 2 years ago as a stranger to this community, and now I feel I'm fully submerged in it. And my family back home is always supporting me. I have 3 siblings too who always send me little chats, and 2 of them actually came out to SLO with me after they graduated high school. So I feel like I have a lot of hands pulling me right now, and I'm getting there. And I think our world is slowly starting to flip back upside right.
To find a new direction, looking for new beacons. Yes. Claudia Krakey and Colin Green, thank you so much for joining me today. Claudia's program is Claudia for Learning. Yep. And if you'd like to find out more information, you can call us here at the studio, 805-549-8855. Do you still have the Facebook link, Claudia, if people want more information?
Yes, I can send you all of the links to share.
That'd be wonderful. They'll be available. You can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. I'm happy to send you information. Follow us on Facebook, podcast our show, and share the show with others. And I don't know about you, Carol, but I have now cried for the last 35 minutes of joy that these young people exist in the world.
I know. I feel like our planet is in good hands.
It's amazing to me that I get the privilege of teaching and being a part of the lives of so many Cal Poly students, because that's been my experience for over a decade, that this is a school that brings in an amazingly beautiful population of young people. So thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back next Tuesday at 2 to continue the conversation. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist.